All right, we have now reached that point in the lectionary and the different readings out of the lectionary for what I think is the most important three stories that Jesus tells for his entire ministry. It is, if we pay attention to this, it ought to set up the church completely different than what we have seen in the last few thousand years. Amen? And in fact, I will put to rest any idea that the church is about being salvationist. This is not about saving people's butts. This is a story about who Jesus is to each of us. I'm hoping that there are some of you that will be listening to this message today that have decided that you're over it, you've had it, you don't want to deal with the church anymore, that you might pay attention to this message, that you might hear the invitation to come back home. Because there is a place for you in this place that we call the church. There is an openness that says truly that it's okay to be whoever you are. Whatever you have come to in this life is acceptable to God. And God will go out of God's way to find you and tell you that. That's what these next three stories are about. We're going to take two of them this morning.
Amen.
Beginning with the 15th chapter with the first verse. By the time a lot of men and women of questionable reputation, I like that, questionable reputation. You understand, of course, that's every one of us sitting here today, right? We're all of a questionable reputation. We're hanging around Jesus and listening intently. The Pharisees and the religious leaders were not at all pleased, not at all happy. They growled. He takes sinners, eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. Their grumbling triggered this story. Suppose one of you have 100 sheep and you lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? And when you found it, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing that when you got home, you would call your friends and your neighbors saying, "Celebrate with me, I found my lost sheep." I know that this part of Scripture is true for any of you that have had a dog that got out of the door and ran into the neighborhood. Amen? Count on it. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people who need no rescue. Hello. Stay with me here for a moment. It's really not about not needing rescue, because some of the people that think they don't need rescuing need rescuing. Amen. Okay, just thought I would throw that in. Imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp, scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and her neighbors. Celebrate with me. I found my lost coin.
Amen.
Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. Now, I know that you heard some phraseology in there about sinners and people being lost. We're going to deal with that next week. Because next week, you know what the lectionary reading is, right? It's probably my favorite story. And for those of who have been a part of this church for the last 20 years, you've heard me preach this several times. You're going to get to hear it again next week, because it's probably one of the most important stories of Jesus' entire ministry. However, with that said, let's not worry about the sinners here. And let's not worry about, I don't know, the value of that coin that was lost. Let's talk about something else that's more important, so that y'all understand when I say this is not about salvation, that this is about God's relationship with you, that you get that picture. Here's the deal. We talk about Jesus telling this story as if people have done something wrong. Something that the rest of society says somehow they're not okay with God. We were talking about it when we start to study Leviticus tomorrow. Oh my God, are we going to, we're going to cover some ground about what people had to do just to think they were okay with God. Amen? You are going to find out over this next several weeks why some of the traditional stuff that we do in the church, we do. Amen. And yeah, Barry, it's gross. And it doesn't, and I will say this ahead of time, a lot of it doesn't make any sense. A lot of it is about power and control. Oh, did I say that with my outside voice? And see, nobody here sat and said amen. Y'all just sat there and smiled and shook your head. Yeah, I know, huh?
Okay. We've never done that.
Amen. All right, so, how about this? If Jesus didn't think these were bad people that he was hanging with, if he wasn't deliberately seeking them out because somehow or another they no longer belonged and the righteous said they couldn't be there, then what was he doing?
He wasn't trying to save them. He was trying to include them.
Because, and here's the...
Repeat it.
Finish my sermon for me. He was trying to include them. Why?
They're part of his family.
Bingo. It's because it is... who he is. This is nothing special, folks, and it's an incredible piece of good news about who God is to you. God's not asking you to change. God's just asking you to come back home. Whatever reason you left, God is asking you to come back, and God will go look for you. And Jesus did exactly that, and it pissed some people off. Actually, the original title of my sermon was going to be Wine, Bitch, and Complain. But I decided that there are some people on the left that would not like that B word.
So it's growl?
So I ended up with, yeah, growl and
wine.
Wine,
complain.
Yeah. But listen, folks. This is what drives everybody nuts about the church. It's because the church sets themselves up to be a bastion of tolerance and love and caring, and yet it is the church that makes you feel like crap. It is the church organization that beats you upon the head and says you don't belong because you don't behave in a certain way. And I'm here to tell you this morning that these three stories go against that. It is about being who you are.
Come on, Paul.
What are we going to do with that, folks? It means that people that drink, people who enjoy gambling, people who enjoy their sex lives, people who love the same gender, people who are willing to look at their gender and say, you know, I think this needs to change. They are all part of God's kingdom. They have nothing to be ashamed of. And these stories prove that. I'm on a roll here. What do you want?
Well, I was just wondering if you're so busy pointing out everybody else's foibles and problems, maybe you're doing it because you don't want somebody to look too closely at your own.
Well, yes. I'll take that. I have a question for you. Thank you for bringing it up, because that's what brought me to my last illustration. There was a teacher who asked a bunch of kids one day, if all the bad children were painted red and all the good children were painted green, what color would you be? And I want you to think about that for just a second, because if all the bad people were painted red and all the good people were painted green, what color would you be? Now, I...
Sorry, you asked for color.
How about black?
This is the reason that I pastor this church. There is no control here. Actually, there was a wise kid that said his color would be stripes.
Ah, there you go.
Point being, there's some good and there's some bad. I want you to really settle in on that today. When you start asking, why does Jesus go to the people that he goes to? You see, it isn't just the bad. It's all of us. We are all part of this. We need to get over this idea of good and bad in the church. There is only acceptance and love. And yeah, I suppose red and green makes purple. That would work. I'll take that color as well. I don't know what it is, what the primary...
Red and blue.
Red and blue. Okay, so that color wasn't there. So where'd you get purple?
That's big green, mate.
I'm gay, I'm purple.
Yellow.
Hallelujah.
Yellow and blue make green.
You see, folks, Jesus even loved that. You get the point of the story, though. We are all part and parcel to God's kingdom. This idea that we keep living in a world where people are bad and somehow have to be saved, that is not the job of the church. We know what God requires, do we not? We hear it in this church almost every week. God requires that we be fair. God requires that we be merciful and that we be humble in our relationship with God. And part of that being humble means that we're going to be around some pretty unsavory people according to I don't know who.
Come on, Paul.
So as you go from here today, because I think I've just about, you know, made the point, and I don't want to overmake the point. If you want the church to change, if you want your faith to be dynamic, if you want to experience God in a way that you've never experienced before, then look at this story and understand that Jesus doesn't come looking for you because you're bad. Jesus comes looking for you because you belong. God bless you.